Welcome to the Arts Hour. My name is Carl Smith, and I have my two very special guests in with me today, Carla and Matthew. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Today, we're going to be talking about superheroes. We're going to be talking about superheroes in comic books and in film, and like the more modern interpretations of...
Oh, and in books as well.
Oh, and books.
There's books as well. We can talk about that, actually.
Yeah, actually, is Watchmen a book? It was a book,
wasn't it? It's a comic.
It was a comic, okay.
But there's been a lot. I'll talk about the books later.
Fantastic. And then we're going to talk about the more modern interpretation of a superhero, your everyday superhero. To kick it off, though, I was just going to play a quick little tune, a nostalgic tune for our listeners. Something that I remember from my childhood, really dodgy cartoons. I hope you enjoy.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Sort of forgotten how many times they just said the word Batman.
They say Batman a lot. Might even say it's the only word they say.
I think it is the theme.
In that completely incredible song.
Now Batman is one of the superheroes, one of the first superheroes. Now, Matt, you're doing your honours thesis comic books.
I'm doing my honours thesis on... They let you do that.
They let you do
apparently.
That.
Apparently. Awesome. They let you get away with
University
that.
Of Queensland excellence.
Yeah.
Now, as you were an expert to be in this field, perhaps you could explain to us the idea of a superhero, and you can maybe talk about why Batman is a fantastic superhero, or someone like Batman.
Okay. Well, I might start by give you a brief rundown on the history of comics, right? Which came about, all these characters who we know and love, these Supermans and these Batmans, were invented during the Depression, just before World War II. They were in a very different form to what we know today, and these like cheap, flimsy paper things for kids. And they're these sort of pulp novel forms that... very quickly became incredibly popular, like way more popular actually than they are today, or at least comics, at least in comic form, they're selling way more than they have today. They got popular back then, and they stayed popular all through World War II you got superheroes like Captain America and Batman.
There's a lot of propaganda as well through the comic
books. That's where you get these characters like Captain America.
Good example. Yeah.
Famously punches a Nazi. You know, he's the Nazi puncher. He's the superhero who punches Nazis.
So they started off very political.
It started off very, because it was all invented by Jewish guys, all the comics. The people who invented Superman were these Jews. What were their names? Siegel and Schuster? Something like that.
Okay.
Were these Jewish guys who were living in New York during when World War II, when Hitler had just come into power and the Holocaust was just starting up. And they invented this, they invented all these characters who had incredible super strength and could do anything and could fly about saving the world.
Awesome.
Michael Chabon recently wrote a book called The Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Clay about these two Jewish guys inventing superheroes in World War II as a escapist mythology to writing about the fantasy that you could just fly over to Germany and beat up Hitler save the world and save your people of thing.
Awesome.
So that's how they started out, as these escapist sort of power fantasies.
So this is how the comic books sort of started up. In those comic books, obviously the superheroes or the heroes of the books meant something political. But how would you describe these superheroes in a few words then?
Oh, what? In a few words?
You can string together sentences if you prefer.
I don't suppose so. Yeah.
No.
Well, I started out this sort of like, they were very sort of cheesy, because the old school superheroes are even more cheesy and ridiculous than the ones we get today. Mm. Sort of like, they're just always called something like the Green Hornet.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real one.
Iron Man.
I know it is.
Batman. Yeah.
They just take an animal and a color and you mash them together and you get like the Blue Ocelot.
Okay, so They were very sort of stereotypical.
They're very much fiction for children back in the like kids' stories, even more, because they're not really now.
Yeah.
They sort of are, and they sort of occupy this weird space.
Okay. So comic books then sort of changed a little bit into the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. And the theme of Batman that we just played then was from the 60s cartoon. Mm. So maybe talk about how the idea of...
changed in the...
Yeah, how the idea of a superhero shifted.
So there's, in comic book history, we call it comic book scholars know about these things. It's divided into the Golden Age, the Silver Age, and the Dark Age. And the Golden Age is the first age, is the age just when comic books had just been invented, the first Superman and Batman stories. And that went up to about the 50s, right? And then after World War II, because there weren't any Nazis to beat up anymore, comic book sales took a huge hit. And there was a famous thing. There was a famous book called Seduction of the Innocent about the secret gay agenda of Batman and Robin.
Whoa.
And there's a famous anti-comics crusader named Frederick Wortham who went around crusading against comics and about how they were seducing children into sex and violence and homosexuality and all of this.
Was it a convincing argument?
Subversive stuff. Well, it got it really affected the comic book industry because it got a lot of... invited a lot of self-censorship into the comic book industry. Like, there were these, at the time, the most popular comics were actually these horror comics called EC comics, which were all about people being brutally murdered in really inventive ways.
Mm.
And these were pitched to children, but they were all about, like, organs going everywhere and people being torn up and things. And so in the 50s, which were a more conservative time, the comics code came down and the comics company started to really self-censor and really make absolutely sure there was nothing in the least bit suggestive going on anywhere.
Okay.
And that's led into the... So that led into the trippy 60s stuff we know and love. Like the Batman TV show. Mm. And the silly stuff, the really cheesy camp stuff came from this censorship move. Then comics moved into what we call the Silver Age, which is this really... Like, the ethos of the Silver Age is that it's just the most ridiculous stories you can imagine. Like, the sort of mascot of the Silver Age is the talking gorilla, because comics were always Batman was always fighting talking gorillas and, like, men dressed as bananas. And, like, I don't know, giant...
Just ridiculous
giant
things. Pie,
just ridiculous things.
Wow.
Just
giant pies.
Yeah, just really camp, ridiculous, silly stuff. I actually watched Batman 66, the movie, the other day. It's hilarious. Yeah. It's really funny.
Okay.
Like, you can tell, because it's... And not just in, like, a camp way. You can tell the people doing it are having the time of their lives being hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay, we might just flick over to a song, and then we'll continue with what happens after the Silver Age of comic books.
Okay, sure.
This is MIA featuring Bun B and Rich Boy, Paper Planes. That was MIA, Paper Planes. All right, so we're back, and we're midway through the history of comic books. So, Matthew.
The fascinating history of comic books.
Mm.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, so I'm told. Okay, so we're 1-3 and we're on the Silver Age. Okay, and then what comes next is the Dark Age of comics. And this starts in about the 80s when you might have heard of when Alan Moore gets involved. Mm. So have you heard of, Watchmen, yeah? Mm-hmm. Watchmen is the big deal in comics. Watchmen marks the transition to the dark from the Silver Age where everyone, like it was the Silver Age and everything was sort of lighthearted and fun and like men... punching giant monkeys and sharks
and pies
and robots from space and things. And then along comes Alan Moore and writes this super serious, really intense superhero comic called Watchmen with like brutal violence and like politics and the Vietnam War and rape and all this really hectic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And just in general writes comics as super serious and mature and like, I don't know, gritty and realistic. Mm. And there's another guy called Frank Miller who's doing much the same thing about the same time.
Roughly when was this?
Oh, this was the 80s. This was 89, I think, Watchmen comes out.
Ah, cool.
And there's a guy called Frank Miller who's the dude who, Sin City? Frank Miller wrote the comic that was based on.
Mm.
And he wrote, and 300's another Frank Miller thing.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Mm. And he wrote. He was writing Batman at the same time, and he was writing Batman in the same sort of very serious way, very intense, dark sort of way. So this ushers in a whole the dark age of comics, where everything had to be super grim and gritty all of the time.
Okay,
and that sort of leads into now.
Okay, well that's sort of the brief overview of superheroes and comic books.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose the next big thing to happen was films, wasn't it?
Yeah,
films and cartoons.
This is definitely the point where comics. I don't know when the first. Well, wasn't it like the Spider-Man movies or the X-Men movies were some of the first?
Yeah.
I think X-Men and Spider-Man.
Well, that's when Marvel and DC started branching out into the film industry as well. Mm. Well, what I might do is before we start talking about these sort of films and follow the superhero through into modern times, is play another theme for you. This is another original cartoon cut. It's the Spider-Man theme. Okay, that was the Spider-Man theme. I forgot how cheesy that one was as well.
It's pretty cheesy.
I wanted Spider-Pig.
Spider-Pig, yeah. I think it's become even more popular now. Mm. But the tune is the same. So, Matthew,
mm-hmm.
next thing that happens is films.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Marvel and DC shifting into the film industry to try and catch up with modernization.
Although it's really recently that Marvel actually bought their own... bought their own film studio and started making their own films and doing that all themselves.
Okay, so who was it before then?
Oh, it was just a bunch of people. Yeah. Like, I think Fox owns Spider-Man and someone owns X-Men and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Mm.
But all the event, that's why the Avengers stuff is all this sort of unified project, like with Thor and Captain America and what have you, because they're the movies that are actually made by Marvel.
Yeah. So I think, Carla, our generation has sort of grown up with these comic book films.
Yeah.
Which is the first one you can remember watching?
Spider-Man.
Yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
That's me too. I think that was the first one.
Well, actually, what about the Batmans before then?
Oh, the Tim Burton Batman.
Yeah, the Tim Burton Batman.
That's true, actually. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. The Batmans are the first ones I remember.
They're sort of older. And the two Tim Burton ones. They're not very good.
I really enjoyed them.
Yeah, Tim Burton.
Did...
Yeah, yeah. Tim Burton. The first two are Tim Burton, and then the other ones are some other dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Mm. I didn't know that. But yeah, definitely they're the ones that I remember.
I remember Arnold Schwarzenegger as, what is it?
Mr. Freeze.
Mr. Freeze.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
You've just gotten the cold shoulder.
And what were the other guys? There was the Penguin.
Was Danny DeVito or something.
Yeah,
Two-Face was Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, yeah. And the Riddler was Jim Carrey. Jack Nicholson was the Joker.
Was yeah.
It's actually really good.
And then the Riddler.
Jim Carrey was the Riddler.
Right. Yeah.
You'd think the
he
Joker.
He was fantastic.
But hey.
Who played Batman? I remember his name.
There were a few.
Michael Keaton and also George Clooney.
George Clooney was
briefly Batman.
And then there was a Catwoman and an Ivy as well.
There was everyone. Uma Thurman.
Uma Thurman, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all terrible without exception.
I disagree.
I disagreed.
Exception.
I loved it.
Yeah. All right, well, the expert has spoken, though, so we have to...
That is my
yeah, he
absolute,
is doing his honours on it.
So.
Not only is he an expert to Pete, but he is actually wearing a comic book piece of clothing at the moment.
That's
He's got his Iron Man t-shirt on.
I didn't even realise.
Yeah. I have so many. I
all right, so, Carly, you remembered Batman and then Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
What else?
Then probably X-Men and then, I guess the newer Batman ones that have come out.
The X-Men spin-offs like Wolverine.
First Class. What did you think of First Class?
I enjoyed First Class.
I didn't see it.
You should see First Class.
I enjoyed First Class. Did you enjoy First Class?
I really liked First Class.
Yeah, I really liked First Class as well. I think, those sort of films, they portrayed the same stuff that the comic books were portraying in terms of the heroes pre the Dark Era. Would you agree?
What do you mean?
As in, like, the first of these films to come out, they had your typical heroes from, like, the golden and silver comic books.
Well, some of them, like, the... What are they... Oh, what's his name? The Christopher Nolan Batman ones are really inspired by Frank Miller's Dark Age work on the character. Like the whole thing where Batman is like, it's Batman Begins. He's the whole thing where he's just become Batman for the first time and he's just getting the hang of it now. That's the whole.
That's happened more recently. I was talking about like the first, you know, like the first Batmans, the first X-Men.
The first, but where it's the first Batmans are really like
sort of going through.
Hugely from the 66 stuff. It's the really like that, and those came out I think in around 1990.
Yeah, yeah.
So that came around at like those first Tim Burton Batmans came out at the same time as the Watchmen.
Yeah,
and what have you?
So would you say that you know? Superheroes and film are going through the same stages, and they're going through the gold, the silver.
Maybe not the silver, but
I reckon they went to the gold, and now they're going to the dark.
Sort of. Like, certainly the first. Cause I think they've generally sort of. They've tried to keep up with whatever age. And they often draw on, like, really different elements of comics as well. Like, the Thor movie. I think we saw that one. The Thor movie was really sort of cheesy and Silver Age and over the top.
That's so true.
Mm. But the Batman movies have been really dark, and the Captain America movie is really like was really retro and really trying to
Like if you think about Spider-Man, like the more recent Spider-Man movies, kids would definitely be able to go and see that and enjoy it.
Mm.
But I would like to know a kid's interpretation of like the latest Batman. You know, that was really dark.
I don't think I would want my kid to go and see it. No. And Batman's always been a really dark. Batman was at the forefront of this whole Dark Age thing. Batman's already been that, kind of character.
Mm. Okay. It's sort of the same idea then. You started with your into the darker stuff. I also wanted to talk a little bit about the way, you know, films are adopting like the same stylization of comic books. Mm-hmm. So films like, you know, the Frank Miller inspired films like Sin City and 300, where you've got these
He directed The Spirit. One as well. Yeah.
But the way like the frames they go really slowly through a section and they jump, it almost gives the impression that you're taking in pictures at a time.
Yeah,
like
no, it's
when
really
it's slow,
true.
You take in a picture, then you jump to the next scene, it slows again. And, of course, you've got the hyper-colouring as well and the fantastic backdrop.
The really brightness. He did Watchmen. You saw this in Watchmen as well, the brightness of it and the sort of, like, it's sort of luminous. It's sort of, like, hyper-realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And it really gives the, like, it's sort of supposed to give the impression that you're looking at a panel, that you're looking at something not quite. And I think the CGI-ness of it as well, sort of, the fact that everything is CGI makes it a lot easier to compose a film in a way that doesn't quite look, that doesn't look like something real, that looks like a living drawing almost.
All right, Carla, what do you think then in the. Like that dark age of comic books, you and I aren't as well acquainted with, but the dark age of films, we've watched a lot of those.
Yeah.
So what do you reckon the heroes in those films are like? How would you try and describe them?
Oh, that's a good question. So we're talking like Batman?
Yeah, like, you know, Batman Begins or The Dark Knight, you know, how he's portrayed in those films.
Yeah, they're very intimidating, really, if you think about it. And as I was saying, like, for a kid... And they're very, they portrayed all the colours that are representing them, and they're very aloof, and they're not so much very, like, they're not very personable, I think, personally, when you compare it to, like, Spider-Man, or, and also their alter egos, like, if you think of, like, Clark Kent and what Spider-Man's...
Peter Parker,
like, they're very normal, nice people that you can relate with, but... Batman's Bruce Wayne, he's not a very friendly guy, he's not someone I'm like, oh, I'd like to get to know him.
And I think as well, like,
really interesting.
The alter egos are blurred in something like Batman Begins. Like, you've got, is it Christian Bale in Batman Begins?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he in that film, he's somewhere in between that Bruce Wayne persona and the Batman persona.
Yeah.
And it's this really sort of dark mixture.
And it's always
brutal,
this sort of tension
mixture.
Between, like... There, especially in Batman, there's always this sort of tension where Bruce Wayne is just a persona he puts on to try and fit in with normal society.
Yeah, totally. Mm. It's almost as if, like, the reason why he wants to combat all this evil is for some kind of revenge, like, deeper, deep-seated purpose.
He's getting some sick satisfaction out of it.
Yeah, totally.
Mm.
Whereas the other ones, you kind of
like with
I'm
Spider-Man,
so good.
You get that he's Peter Parker and he dresses up as Spider-Man. But with Batman, he's Batman and he dresses up as Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, totally.
Actually, you know, speaking of like this dark age of you know, films and comic books, I really liked the way Dark Knight finished. The way they spoiler alert, guys. The way they talked about you know, there being a white knight in society, but that wasn't what Bruce Wayne was meant to be as Batman. He was this he idea of you know, justice without any. I don't know.
Control.
How would you describe like, it?
In order to be the White Knight, he had to be the Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so doing the right thing, even if it meant wrong by that character there, Batman or whatever, like or public appearance.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always like the Batman idea is that he has to, it's a necessary evil almost. Mm. He has to be bad in order to, he has to be evil in order to do good in the world. Mm. Like,
okay. We might just jump to a song because I haven't really had one in a while. This is a fairly self-indulgent song. This is The Knife, Silent Shout, which is one of my favourite songs. I hope you enjoy. Okay. So that was Silent Shout by The Knife. I'm sorry if it was a bit loud at the start there. I get pretty keen on that song, unfortunately. Okay, so we've just finished up talking a little bit about the dark age of sort of film superheroes, but there's been a shift since then. Maybe Carly, you could describe that shift.
Well, I just found it interesting when we sort of discussed that, for instance, Batman seems like someone who has this deep-seated dark kind of approach to dealing with evil. It's not, it almost seems like a revenge kind of thing.
It's his own personal thing.
Yeah, like
out.
A personal demon that he has to face. And I was thinking that recently there have been all these movies about normal people choosing to become a superhero. And all the ones that I can think of are these sort of tormented people who are trying to take on school bullies or people in their life. I don't know if anyone's seen Super, but that was the most recent one I've seen. Mm. And it was about this twisted individual whose wife gets taken from him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he becomes a superhero and ends up just going on this killing rampage pretty much.
Wow.
And it's quite psychologically, like, you know, intense. Mm. And there's a less psychologically intense one called Griff the Invisible, which is actually a really cute...
It's an Australian film, isn't
Australian
it?
Australian film, yeah. It's really cute. It's like the Australian Kick-Ass, pretty much.
And Kick-Ass is the other one.
Yeah, Kick-Ass is the other one. But Kick-Ass, like, was he a nerd in Kick-Ass? He wasn't really that
much.
I
haven't
seen
it.
He just decided...
I think he just wakes up one day and decides to be a... I think you have to if you're going to wake up one day.
There are people who do this in real life as well.
Yeah.
There are these people, like these real life people who get there. There's a guy called Phoenix Jones in America somewhere who has like a costume and he goes around like defending people from muggers and fighting crime.
Wow. Yeah, right.
And things like that.
Okay. So you were saying that like it's... you know, the whole superhero idea has become more of a reaction to, like, an adverse response
well,
to bullies or bad guys. Yeah.
I guess so. I mean, I haven't really made my mind up as to whether it's a positive or a negative thing to put these ideas in people's minds. Because, I mean, I got bullied at school. but when I see... Griff the Invisible is a good example of this because it is kind of believable, the stuff that he does. And he gets bullied in his workplace and he's a really shy kind of guy with a very, very overactive imagination. And, you know, it does get him into trouble in the movie. And I sort of started thinking, like, are they trying to portray it in a positive way? Like, you can be your own superhero, you can fight back against these bullies. Or is it actually just going to cause some trouble, really?
Yeah. Well, I suppose the reason they would do it is for sake of relatability. So they would assume there are people out there who think like that, who imagine themselves as a superhero as a way of getting back at the bullies. And they're trying to reenact it and
give
it a
happy
ending.
That's what a lot of these movies are about, is sort of the deconstruction of the idea, of the vigilante idea, the idea that you can just go out and use violence to solve everybody's problems.
Mm. Yeah, but if you look at, like, was it Kick-Ass at the start where he... initially goes and sees a lady getting mugged in New York, And then he ends up getting stabbed and going to hospital.
No,
and
it turns out that violence is actually in the real world really horrible.
Yeah, and you can die.
And you can really easily die. And if Batman, like, cause, you know, if Batman actually tried to pull that in real life, he would be
shot to death really
quickly, and it would be awful.
But I think one that I just remembered that we haven't discussed previously that I think is a really good portrayal of that, because it uses sort of magic realism, I guess, is Scott Pilgrim versus the Lord. That's total comic book, realistic person, but then he all of a sudden has this like actual superhuman strength. He's not just a normal
and the
human.
And the violence in it is really stylized. And like it's this really neat comical juxtaposition of like your daily's regular, normal, hipster apartment lifestyle, except that, you know, some of the rules in that world work by video game rules and superhero rules. Sometimes that, like, the world of Scott Pilgrim just switch this battle mode where you have to fight people.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, do you know, was that a comic book to start with?
Scott Pilgrim's a comic,
Yeah,
it started as a comic.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what the more modern day comics are, because I don't actually
know what's going on at the moment. Well, there's a lot of there's always still superhero stuff going on. There's a lot on. What else is there? Scott Pilgrim's are really popular. Web comics are really huge at the moment.
Of course,
there's a lot of the internet, like, comics are making the transition to the internet. And there's like
everything.
And these are like the daily installment ones as well. So like these are like the daily installment ones. So you'll get five or six lines or something.
You know, and that's sort of blurring the lines between, like you also get newspaper comics, which are like your Calvin and Hobbes and your Peanuts, and they're like, and your Garfield, and they're three panels, and they're like, these are on the sort of web comics can blur the line between like your newspaper form of comics and your narrative like issue by issue superhero comics and all sorts of other kinds of comics.
Okay,
because it's. But I'm trying to figure out why.
Well, actually, there was something I saw the other day. On the iPads, you can get an app
for reading comics.
Yeah, for each of, like,
because comics
Marvel
are going digital
DC,
now.
Yeah.
Like, Marvel and DC will let you pay to get their comics on the internet.
It's like $1 or something for a comic. And the way it's set up looks fantastic. Like, you can zoom in on each of the panels. You flick your pages like you would on the iPads already. Do you think that's sort of the future of where comic books are going to go?
I think that might be the future. I don't know where the future of comic books is. Somewhere very interesting.
Yeah, well, that was my final question before we finish up today's episode, which was to ask our comic book expert in residence what the future of not just comic books but also superheroes are going to be based on what you've seen so far.
That's what, like, the future of comic, it's definitely the internet's involved somehow, but that's a huge question in the comic book industry at the moment.
What happens next?
How do we convert this industry that was founded on getting people for pay for issues regularly on this, in a world where information is free and you can get all the comics you could ever want online for free.
Okay.
So and if I'd solved that question, I would have $1 million. But so it's definitely to do with the internet and comics online.
But what about superheroes? Is the Green Hornet, for example, is that a new superhero?
That's an old superhero.
It's an old superhero.
Actually,
who are some of the newer superheroes? Yeah. And are we going to see, like, you know, a new stage in, like, the superhero movement? You know, maybe going from the Dark Age onto the Renaissance or something new happens.
Probably. Like, I don't know. The thing about new superheroes don't so much, like, we haven't had a new superhero for a while that's sort of found its way into the public imagination as much as
what
the old ones.
What about those, you know, common day superheroes though, like the ones in Scott Pilgrim and Kick-Ass, those sort of people who
that's
why
I think
people.
We're sort of really interested now in pushing the boundaries of what it means to be a superhero.
Okay.
And it's like all these characters who sort of partly partake of the superhero, like Scott Pilgrims and Kick-Asses and what have you, who draw from superhero comics without actually, and the superhero like styles of writing finds its way into all sort,
Doctor kids cartoons as well.
Like, Doctor Who's really real. Like, the current run of Doctor Who is really inspired by comics.
Have you seen Adventure Time with Jake
and Adventure
Finn?
Time's really
I was going to say,
that would be my favourite
superhero.
It's pretty fantastic.
Jake and Finn, it's the best.
And it sort of, it draws on the ability of comics to, like, throw all these ideas into this crazy world where nothing. It draws on this Silver Age stuff a lot.
Like, all the things, they're like little cupcake men and things
like
that.
You can just, that's something
really
you would
evil.
See in a Batman comic from 1963.
Yeah,
like,
right. it. It just, if anyone out there hasn't seen Adventure Time, definitely with Jake see Adventure and Finn, Time. Go and watch
Adventure
Time.
I think I've seen Adventure Time.
It's pretty amazing. It's pretty much an amazing television show.
Awesome. Totally. This was the one that was made for Nickelodeon and then didn't come out or something.
Oh, it was an internet video.
And then it went
internet.
Yeah, now yeah.
It's and on then it went viral and then it got its own show.
No, is it on Nickelodeon now?
I think so, because I've got a little stepbrother and I thought, oh man, I'm going to be the coolest stepsister. I'm going to go tell him like Adventure Time. He's like, oh, watch that every morning. Nickelodeon at 6 o'clock. I was like, wow. What? That's on TV?
Because I swear it was originally created for Nickelodeon, like this show. Right. It was pitched at Nickelodeon and they turned it down because it was too weird.
It's so weird.
So then it went onto the internet and got a massive following. Yeah. And then obviously it's on Nickelodeon now. Happy ending for those guys.
I actually showed it to my, I'm a school teacher, and I, at the end of last year when it was like video days, I was like, do you guys want to watch like a boring video or do you want to watch a cartoon? And all my classes, like half of them were like, this is the most fantastic thing we've ever seen. And the other half of them were like, what the hell is this? What did you show me?
It's the greatest thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, that's a major plug.
Well, I think we might be done with the idea of the superhero for now. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe in the future when Matt has his honours and is perfectly qualified.
I'll come back and explain everything to you.
Yeah, he will know. He'll have the knowledge. Okay, well, Carla, thank you very much for your time.
No worries.
Matthew, thank you very much.
Thank you, Carl.
And we're going to finish off with the Triple J Hottest 100's number one track of the year, just because it hasn't been played enough.
I thought we were
going
with Animal Collective.
Oh, do you want Animal Collective?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to play...
Hey, maybe Got You has been played enough,
Maybe. Well, what I'm going to do, just because I'm worried that there are people out there that are listening who are going to be sad if they don't hear that song for the 1,000th time. So I'm going to play you Animal Collective, and then I'm going to follow it up straight away with Gautier's Somebody That I Used to Know.
Thanks, Carl.
Okay. All right, guys. This has been The Arts Hour.
The Arts Hour.
And I'm Carl.
And he's Carl.
I'm Carl. Bye.
Carl.
So that was My Girls by Animal Collective. I'm all alone in the studio now. I'm feeling a bit lonely. But like I said, I promised I'd put on Gautier's number one in the Hottest 100s song, Somebody That I Used to Know, featuring Kimbra. So this is it, and we'll see you guys next time.